We started Perek Shneimasar Habone, and we're on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis, and we're learning about Meleches Bone. And if you recall, we spent a lot of time trying to figure out what Binyan Kol Shehu is. And now the Gemara is going to give us a live example, a living example of Binyan Kol Shehu. Amar Shmuel. Okay, does everybody have the place? Just to make sure we're all on the same page here. Amar Shmuel is parallel to halfway to the Tosfos here. Haiman. Do you have the Tosfos Haiman? So about one line below that. Amar Shmuel. Hamitzadeid. Rashi says mitzadeid means to move it around, lahoshiv. So sometimes you have a stone and you want it to be well founded in the ground, so you do what's called mitzadeid. So mitzadeid es ha'even. Now again, there's no building yet here. You know, if you're talking about Chach finishing a building, if he didn't build the entire building, but at least he finished the building, then I can understand that's called Meleches Bonen. But here he's just at the very beginning stages. You know, he hasn't even put down the lowest rung, you know, the foundation stone. So nevertheless, Hamitzadeh Yesha Evan Chayev, he's Chayev for Meleches Bonen. And this is Shmuel's example of a Binyan Kol Shehu. Now what did he do? He created a foundation upon which the building will be built. So the Gemara is not happy with this. Not because the Gemara objects to the concept of Binyan Kol Shehu, that we already saw codified by our Mishnah, Habona Kama Yivne V'Yechayev Habona Kol Shehu. So he doesn't have to build the entire building. But the Gemara thinks that he's got to build enough so that there is a potential for the building. And what does that mean, a potential for the building? A building is made, a structure is constructed with many different layers, and each layer is meant to prepare for the next layer that goes on top of it. And the fact that, according to Shmuel's scenario, he put down the bottom stone, that's not really an adequate preparation for the next layer. Because what is going to be the key of keys? What does he need to put down in order to complete that layer and prepare for the next layer? What does he need? He needs cement. Right? So the Gemara says, Meisve, I'll prove it to you. The Brisa says the following. There are two people working together to create a structure. Echad nosein es ha'even. The echad nosein es ha'tit. Ha'nosein es ha'tit chayav. Why is Shimon, the second guy, chayav? Because what he did was he prepared for the next level. So putting down a level. Well, what's another word for a level? I mean, it's another English word?
Course
is stone.
Course? Wow, I'm not familiar with that word.
Yeah, that's what they use for.
It reminds me too much of college, you know. There were a couple of courses that I think I shouldn't have taken, you know. I was in Brooklyn College one summer. I took a course called Health Education. Little did I know it was a different kind of education. I'm not going to say the word. But it wasn't health education. It was something that starts with an S and ends with an X, you know. So when you say it was a course, you know, I'm not sure if every course is something that I want to take. Okay, so a course is the same as one strip, you know, one layer?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Is that British English or is that... Oh, that's British English. Okay, maybe that's why I never heard that word. Either that is because I don't know beans about construction.
It's used in construction all the time.
Okay, great. So one course. So what does it mean in halacha to be chayav for Meleches Bonen and a Binyan Kol Shehu? It's not enough to put down the course. You have to put down the course in such a way that it prepares for the next course. In other words, the chibur here that connects one layer, one course with the next, that's critical to Meleches Bonen. The chiddush of this brisa is that if two people were involved in cahoots, in an act of construction, the one who puts down the chibur and prepares the lower course, you know, for the next course, the higher course, that's the one who's chayav. But clearly then, this is against Shmuel. Because Shmuel holds that Hametzadeh is Evan Chayev, he's already in violation of Melechus Bonim. And now, with all due respect, that's not going to create a chibur. You know, it's very good that the first layer is down solid, but that doesn't create a chibur to the next level. So Melechus Bonim means that there's a structure, and every course that you put down, insofar as it is a preparation for the next course, and links through chibur one course with another, that's called Melechus Bonim. But clearly then, Hametzadeh Yosefet should not be chayav for bone. So the Gemara now answers one question with another question. And that is, how do you understand this brice itself? You know, you sort of misled us by quoting only a fraction, a segment of this brice. So, but instead of asking a kash on Shmuel, you should be asking a kash on yourself from the safe of the brice. Because if your premise is that you need that chibur in order to be chayav for Melechus Bonim, then aim a seifa. What are you going to do with the seifa? In other words, until now we've been discussing the bottom layer, the foundation, and then the layer on top of that. What about the top layer of a structure? Is Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afilu Hela Vihiniach Al Gabi Dimus, Al Gabi Dimus Shal Avonim, Yochayav, even if you put a stone on the top layer, correct? On the top layer, this is going to be your top course, and obviously that top course does not in any way prepare for what?
The
next course, because there's no tit and there's not going to be another course, you know, right now until you get a permit from the area, you know, you're not going to be building on top. That was a prayer for me and my wife, but anyway, so he says that you see already there's a possibility of being chayav without that chibur that connects this course that you're putting down with the next course. And the Gemara thinks that in order to explain Rabbi Yossi, and it's not clear whether Rabbi Yossi is adding to the Tanakhama or disagreeing with the Tanakhama, you get the impression that Rabbi Yossi is enhancing, he's adding to the Tanakhama in the Gemara's understanding of this price. You see that there is such a thing as a top layer. If there's such a thing as a top layer, then there's certainly such a thing as a foundation layer. Actually, if you would ask the question, which is more important in a construction, the bottom layer or the top layer?
Bottom.
Well, you could say they're equal, but you might say the bottom layer is even more important. So rather than attack Shmuel, because this price contradicts Shmuel in the case of the bottom layer, why don't you attack Rabbi Yossi in the case of the top layer? No, if you're willing to accept Rabbi Yossi, you know, that kasha you didn't ask. You know, you had no kasha on Rabbi Yossi. So then you accepted the possibility in the price that the top... So why don't you apply this, you know, consistently and be consistent? If you accept the possibility in the top layer, how much more so in the bottom layer? Ella... But rather, we should divide up binyan into three different courses or three different levels. Tlosa binyani hafi. There's tata, mitzia, ve'ila. With regard to tata, is then you could be chayev, but Shmuel adds a condition. The tata has to be, the bottom foundation has to be very secure. And in this case, you don't need any cement in order to guarantee the security and the position of the bottom layer. All you need is what? Boitzidude viafara. When you squeeze it down, you know, when you push down the oven by moving it back and forth until it settles, then the afar on the sides of the oven become a kind of security that protects the oven from moving around. And therefore, you could be chayev already at this stage. So I don't need, in the foundation stage at least, that it be secured by tit on top of it. And therefore, all you need is tzidud, and that's going to create the binyan kolden. Then we get to the mitzia. Now we're up to already the second course, or anything beyond that, up to the top course. And there, with regard to all those courses, by namitina, we also have to introduce an element of cement. So it means that the cement is going to guarantee that the second level will stay in place. So the Gemara thought initially that the function of the cement is to prepare for the next level. And the Gemara says, if that be the case, the second guy who put in the cement, he's the one who's going to be chayev for the first level, but the first guy is not going to be chayev. The Gemara now says, no, we don't have to create a hechsher, if you will, a preparation for the next level. All we need is what? We need the cement in order to guarantee that this level, this course, will stay securely in its place. In the case of the first level, says Shmuel, how do we achieve that goal? We don't need cement. All we need is what? It seems to do. Eloi. Now, in the case of the Eloi, which is sitting on the cement of the previous course, the below of the course below it, is all you need is by nacha bi'alma, just simply by the sheer weight that attaches itself to the, presses down on the cement on the top level, that itself is going to accomplish the same goal as tzidut. And in all these cases, you'll be chayav. Only in one out of the three cases, which is maybe more common because it might reflect on many different levels, you know, different courses, but only there's a tie of what? Of tina, of adding the cement. That's the only way you can secure the position of that stone. But in the case of the ilah, which is the top level, or the case of the tatar, the bottom level, you don't need tina in order to secure it. In the case of the top level, what secures is the fact that it's sitting on the level below it, and it's connected to it through tina. In the case of the bottom level, the foundation level of Shmuel, you don't even need tina in order to secure the position of the bottom level. All you need is what? Is tzidut. Now, Rabosai, I reserve the right to come back to this sugya, but I think that will be well advised to analyze this sugya in the light of the next sugya. So I don't want you to think I'm skipping this sugya. There's a lot to say about this sugya. There's a very interesting Ramban on this sugya, and there's a whole analysis of Rashi on this sugya back and forth. There's a Tosa Rosh on this. There's a lot on this sugya. But what I'm interested in is first getting down to the tata, meaning getting down to the foundations of Melechus Binyan. And then we'll come back to the sugya, and I think we'll be able to analyze it and appreciate it on a deeper level. And what I consider to be the foundations, so to speak, of Melechus Bona are about to be presented in the next piece of Gemara. Now, once again, I have to apologize. There's a phenomenal machlokas about the relationship between Bona and Makir v'Patish. That itself is going to take us at least a week's worth of shiurim, which if we're meeting twice a week might take a month. And that's this sugya that we're about to read for you. So again, because right now I'm not interested in figuring out what is the difference, the demarcations between Bona and Makir v'Patish, I'm just going to read the next line or two of the Gemara as if I was skipping it. And that's the sugya called Misates. Now, just to say a few words about Misates, Rashi tells us in the Mishnah that Misates is squaring off a stone. And we're familiar with this in Yerushalayim, for example, that if, let's say, okay, we appreciate a Yerushalmi stone, even though it has blitos on it, but if, let's say, in a different part of the world, you know, you would export these stones, and they're not interested in... I'm only familiar with one structure in Chutz Laretz, which has Yerushalmi stone. Maybe you guys know of more. I know of only one, in Kew Gardens Hills, New York. It's the yeshiva of Touro College. It's an amazing building, and it's built totally with Yerushalmi stone. And Yesh Darshan L'Gnai and Yesh Darshan L'Shvach. You know, some say it's the Gnai. What do they think? That Yerushalayim is in Kew Gardens Hills. And Yesh Darshan L'Shvach, that they want you to remember Yerushalayim. You know, so that's a chakir. But let's say you wanted to export or market Yerushalmi stone in a place where they don't use Yerushalmi stone, so you obviously want to flatten what's called planing, I think, in English, if I'm not mistaken. You plane the stone, and that's called misates. But Rashi doesn't stop there. Rashi says that Misates itself, in the classical sense of planing it down, flattening and smoothing down the stone, is not necessarily going to be enough. It may be enough in certain parts of the world, but in other parts of the world, yesh makomos regilim lachrots bohem charitzim, they actually make incisions in the side of the stone. For what purpose? Aesthetic purposes, right? For beauty purposes. And Rashi says, in those places, Be'eretz Ashkenaz, he says you'll see it in Germany, France, or wherever, then Misates requires that you add these charitzim. And why do I say that? Because the Gemara now is going to record a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. According to Shmuel, Misates is chayev not mishum boneh, but rather mishum what? Makeh v'patish. Now, the pella of it is, if a person smooths a stone down, he planes down the stone, he should be chayev mishum boneh. Why does Shmuel add makeh v'patish? And again, if we, when Mirza Shebeli Nedim, when we get to the sugi of makeh v'patish, we're going to see that makeh v'patish applies whenever you complete the malacha of binyan. And that's why Rashi is very keen on guaranteeing that we know that in Eretz Ashkenaz is Nagim Regilim Lachrotz Bacharitzim. And that's what Misates means. And Rashi might be implying that Shmuel would not argue with Ra about subsuming Misates under Malachas Bona if not for the need for Charitzim. And when he adds the charitzim, that's when the malach is complete, and that's called maleches makeh v'patish according to Shmuel. And Rav assumes that even though the charitzim have no functional purpose, nevertheless that still remains maleches bonim, if the bonim are regilim lasos kein, and that's the way they market their bricks for, you know, the stones for construction, then even if you go beyond the actual structural improvement or completion of the stone through the old classical misates of planing it, you still are included in maleches bona as long as the binyan, as it's usually marketed in that particular location in the world, requires, in this case, charitza. Okay. Having said that, we go on. Ha'ose lul nekev belul shel tarnagolim. This is the case of a window. The problem with a window is that if you create a window in a structure, in a binyan, then I understand very well that's maleches bonin. But here you created a window in a lul shel tarnagolim. I guess you'd call it a chicken coop. So Rav says that a lul shel tarnagolim has the same status as any other bias, as any other structure. And therefore, just like in any other structure you need a window, here too in the case of a lul shel tarnagolim you need the window that's going to allow the smell, the foul odor to escape. Therefore, Rav says, Yechad Yishub Melechez Bona. What's the difference between a window in a building, which clearly, undoubtedly, is Melechez Bona, and this opening in a lul shel tarnagolim? Ushmuel emer no. Mishub makeh v'patish. In truth, the structure of the lul was complete even without this window. If you have a classical window, which brings air in, and light in, and it allows the foul odor to escape, that's called lahachnis ulahotzi. That's called a pesach. That's called a deles of a bias, and you're chayef for maleches bona. But here, in the case of a lul shel tarnagolim, it's not do functional. It's only to add a little bit of an extra function. Again, that function might be very critical, but it's not your classical deles, which again, a pesach is only lahachnis ulahotzi. In this case, is only what? Is only lahotzi and not lahachnis. Okay. Now we get to the sugya for today. Okay, this is the sugya today. Ayel shufta bikopina demora. Rav Omar ischayev mishum bona. Shmuel Omar ischayev mishum what? Makeh v'patish. Now, exactly why Shmuel says Makom Patrush, I don't know. But let's focus first our attention on Rav. That Yochai Mishum Bonin. What exactly does he have over him? He has a piece of Barzel, correct? And this Barzel is going to serve as a shovel. But the only problem is, the Barzel part of the shovel is not enough. It's hardly functional as a shovel if it is only what? If it is only Barzel. What does he need in addition to the Barzel? Correct. We call it a handle. It's called a kat shel Barzel. Not kat with a chaf, which is a group of witnesses, right? Or any other group. But rather a handle. Now, in order to attach the handle to the Barzel, he needs a kopina demara, right? He needs a hole in the Barzel. So let's say Reuven created this shovel, you know, the Barzel part of the shovel. Shimon now comes along and, I'm sorry, let me go back a bit. Reuven created a shovel, and on the top of the shovel, he has a hole. Now Shimon comes along and he attaches through this hole a shufta. What's a shufta? The handle of the shovel. So Rav says that when he attaches the handle through this hole, maybe he puts a screw in, and now the shovel becomes a shovel with a handle, right? It's now functional. You hold on to the handle and you dig into the ground. That is Meleches Bona. Rabosai.
Is the shovel not a kli?
Is the shovel not a kli? Excellent. So who asks that question? Tosus asks that question. Haiman di ayel shufta bekupina demara. Rav Omar chayav mishum bone. Afal gav de kaimalon ein binyon bekelim. There's no binyan in Kalim. Now this is a sugya, not in Masechta Shabbos, but of all places in Masechta Yontif, in Masechta Beitza, on Daf Yud. And there the Gemara quotes a machlokus between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai says that there's binyan in Kalim, and Beis Hillel disagree, and they say ain binyan in Kalim, and we pass like Beis Hillel ain binyan in Kalim. So if there's ain binyan in Kalim, how could there possibly be a chiyuv according to Rav, unless you assume that Rav passes like Beit Shammai, which is a little bit tenuous to say such a thing, but assuming that Rav passes like Beis Hillel, because we always pass like Beis Hillel, how could Rav say that in the case of Ayel Shufta B'Kupina D'Mori, Yischai Mishum Bona, is Ein Binyan B'Kelim? And we'll see how Tosus deals with this question in just a minute. But first I want to point out to you that the Pella is that Tosus didn't ask this question with regard to Pitpute Kira. Remember the Gemara gave an example, according to Abaye, of Binyan Koldehu in the case of Pitpute Kira. Pashtus would be that a Kira is also, a Kira Ktana at least, is a movable object which makes it into a Kli. And yet, this is your example of Binyan. This too should be Binyan Bekalim. In the case of digging a hole in the ground, that's Rabbi Yirmiyah, okay, that's in Karaka. That might be a binyan. I mean, the chiddush is that's a binyan. If he fixes the binyan itself because there's a hole in one of the krushim and he fills it in with lead, okay, that's Meleches binyan. That's not, that's Karaka. That's not a kli. But in the case of Pitpute Kira, unless Tosfos understands that the Pitpute Kira was also attached to the ground, otherwise I don't know why Tosfos waited till here. Is there anything that I missed here in the earlier Tosfos on Pitpute Kira? I don't know. So that's a question. Okay, fine.
He's making the hole in order.
No. Ruve made the hole, and Shimon now takes a screw. He takes a handle and he screws the handle, attaching it through that hole to the barzel of the shovel. So the attachment of the cat to the barzel, that itself, according to Rav, is Meleches Bona, and Tosfos asks, but that's binyan Bekeda. Now, Rabosai, what I forgot to bring to Shir is a Masechta Shabbos. Yeah, can I borrow yours for just a minute? I'll give it right back. Okay. Now, in order to appreciate this issue of Binyan B'Kalim, we have to see a Gemara on Daf Mem Zayin Omrav. So, Alan, I'm going to borrow your Gemara and then give it right back to you. Okay, this Gemara on Daf Mem Zayin Omer Aleph in the third perek is the famous sugya called Mita Shel Tarsiyim. Now, this Mita Shel Tarsiyim, these were the people who worked on copper, was a kind of temporary bed. These copper workers used to move from place to place. They were called the Tarsiyim. So they need what we would call in modern parlance a folding bed. You know, they needed a cot. You know, that not a cot in the sense of a handle, but a cot in the sense of a little bed. And this bed is clearly a kli because it's not attached to the ground. The whole purpose of this Mita Shel Tarsiyim is to be able to move it from place to place. You may remember that the Gemara Bava Basra, when it talks about people who move from place to place to sell their wares, it speaks about what are they called? The cosmetic sellers. What are they called?
The Avon ladies.
Yeah, but what are they called? The Gemara's language. The Rochlin, right? The Rochlin. You remember that? So the question is: let's say if I live in the house of a Rochel for 3 years, do I have a chazakah? Or do we assume that the Rochel was on a trip and he went from country to country and he wasn't aware of the fact that you were sitting, therefore you didn't make him a chaz, so his shtika is not a raya? Okay, fine. Anyway, someone who's similar to the Rochlim that are always on the move are these Tarsiyim. So they travel from city to city and they do metal work, you know, for the local people, and then they move on to the next town and they get more clients. And they used to carry with them on their shoulders these kinds of beds. You know, you have these, you know, these guys who go miyam liyam. You know, what do you call them? The hikers. You know, I'm talking about in the Israeli army. You know, it's very this part of Israeli society. You know, that culture. It's a very hiking culture. You know, that's why sometimes you see people that are taking tramps. You know, they put their hand out. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What do they call it in England? A tramp.
Hitchhiker.
No, in America they call it a hitchhiker. Oh, even in England they call it a hitchhiker. In Chicago, I think they call it...
taking your life in your hands.
What? They call it a ditch, I think, or something. Every part of the world has a different... So sometimes you get very upset. You know, why are these people doing this? You know, it's very dangerous in the security situation that we live in. But this is part of Israeli culture. You know, that's how you get from place to place. And then you go on your hike. You know, you go to Mitzpeh Rimon or wherever you go on your hike. Yeah. Okay. So what they did was they carried these beds on their shoulders. Oh. So the Gemara says the following, that, just 1 second, Gemara says, Debei Rav Huna, Omar Lehu, Ma'u Lahachzir Mita Shel Tarsiyim B'Shabbos. A while later, reassemble the pieces of this movable bed on Shabbos. So they used to take it apart, and then they would reassemble it. So you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Omrule Shapir Dami. They're allowed to do it. They can reassemble it on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, Harav Shmuel, the Amri Travayu, Amachzir, Mita Shel Tarsiyim B'Shabbos, Chayav Chatos. So imagine we're going from one extreme to the other. Usually we end up somewhere in the middle. What's the middle in Shabbos? Pata Halasa, right? Which means that's also the Rabbanan. Here the Gemara excludes the middle. It's either you're allowed to do it, or you're Chayav Chatos for doing it. Now Tosis is going to say that you're Chayav Chatos, according to Rav and Shmuel, for Meleches Boneh, that you actually are guilty of building a structure. But what question again do we have to ask? Ain Binyan B'Kalim. So Tosfos somehow is going to have to see in this Mita Shel Tarsiyim the paradigm of Yesh Binyan Bekelim, such a way that even Beis Hillel, who disagree and say as a general rule, Ein Binyan Bekelim, this Mita Shel Tarsiyim becomes your paradigm for Yesh Binyan Bekelim. So we're going to have Ein Binyan Bekelim and Yesh Binyan Bekelim. So we're going to somehow explain Mita Shel Tarsiyim, according to at least Rav Shmuel, in a way that there is a Binyan Bekelim.
Rashi doesn't like that at all.
Oh, that was Tosfos, okay? Rashi consistently, in every single case in Shas, and we're going to have about three or four of them, where the Gemara talks about building Kalim, is going to always assume that we're talking about Makeh v'Patish. Again, Rashi in our sugya is going to have a major problem because, as we saw, Rav says that in the case of Ayla Kupina b'Mara, the Shufra Demara, he's Chayav Mishum Bonet. So probably Tosis has his proof against Rashi from this sheet of Rav. Shmuel is okay for Rashi because Shmuel is going to reflect what Rashi does all over Shas and say that whenever you find Binyan B'Kalim, the Malacha is always going to be what? Makeh B'Patish. So let me read to you Rashi on Daf Mem Zayin. In the wide lines, this is the fourth line. Chayav Chatos, who Tchiloso V'Gomro, he started the process and he finished it. Why is it so critical for Rashi to add that word V'Gomro?
Because Makeh V'Patish is the last thing.
Correct, because Makeh V'Patish, there's no possibility of Binyan here. And we'll soon see that Binyan, all you need in Binyan is Tchiloso, and that's the Sugya Mitzadi Nesehemen that we mentioned. But with regard to Makeh V'Patish, Tchiloso is not enough. The whole essence of the entire essence of Makeh V'Patish is the Gemar Malacha, like we saw in the Charitzim that he adds to in the case of Esates in Rashi. Says Rashi, "Hu Tchilasu V'Gomer V'Nimtza Osek Kli." At this point, I thought Rashi was going to say Osek Kli V'Chayev Chatos Mishum Meleches Boneh, but Rashi thinks that it's impossible to say that because, as we'll soon see, Ein Binyan B'Kelim. Is of Rashi v'chayev mishum makeh v'patish. Why? Because av l'chol gomrei malacha. Makeh v'patish is the av malach for anyone who completes a malach. Again, we have to understand why Shmuel in our sugya of Kupina Demara refuses to accept. I'm sorry. Why Rav in the sugya of Kupina Demara refuses to accept Shmuel's makeh v'patish? But what's more difficult for us, according to Rashi, is why Rav accepts Meleches Boneh. Because Rashi's saying that Lo Mishum Binyan, the Ein Binyan Bekelim. So I will say, just to summarize, there are two Shitos here, and this, Alan, I want to give you back to Gemara. I'm going to reserve the right to take it back from you again. That was actually the Gemara that I wanted to take. That's yours?
No.
Yeah, that's the... Again, I've been looking now for weeks for my... I know I have a Gemara Shabbos, and it has extensive notes on some, but I can't find it. Anyway, so Rashi's... Listen carefully, Rav Osai, just to summarize. The overview of the sugya is going to be the following. Rashi is going to assume that whenever you find Binyan B'Kalim, and the Gemara says that you're chayav for that, it's always going to be what? Meleches Makeh V'Patish. The exception to the rule is Rav here on Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis, and we don't know why at this point, why Rav is justified. Let's, again, I'm going to say something that may sound like apikursis, but at least it'll make life easier for ourselves. Let's say that Rav accepts the Shita Beis Shammai, that Ein Binyan B'Kelim, that Yesh Binyan B'Kelim. We accept the Shita Beis Hillel, and that's why Shmuel says Ein Binyan B'Kelim. In this machlokus, therefore, just like in the original machlokus Shita Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, we're going to accept the Shita of Shmuel lahalacha, and therefore Rashi consistently will apply the principle of Ein Binyan B'Kelim, and he's always going to assume that whenever the Gemara says you're chayav for creating a kli, it means you did the gemar malacha, not that you began to make a kli, but that you completed the kli. And completing the kli makes you chayav for meleches makeh v'patish, which is the av l'chol gemar malach. Tosis, on the other hand, assumes that yesh binyan b'kelim. And therefore, in all those sugyas that Rashi applies the chiyuv of makeh v'patish, Tosis is going to apply the chiyuv of boneh. For example, in Mita Shel Tarsi. But now Tosis is going to have to ask himself the question, how do you square that off with Beis Hillel? Beis Hillel say, Meset the Beitza on Daf Yudav and Beis, and Binyan Bekele. So Tosis says the following. Okay. So now, I'm going to have to borrow your Gemara again. Yeah. Sorry, I apologize. But again, in order to appreciate Tosfos, we have to go a little bit deeper in the sugya of Mita Shel Tarsi, because I stopped prematurely. And the Gemara now tries to reconcile the original sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that in Mita Shel Tarsi, you're allowed to assemble it, with Rav and Shmuel, who say that Amachzer Mita Shel Tarsi v'Shabbos Chayav Chatos.
Is no one concerned the fact that Rav and Shmuel here agree, but they disagreed in all the other sugyas before? I mean, why do we assume Rashi is problematic with Rav? He could be speaking on it based on Shmuel.
Right. So if we accept Shmuel, then Ein Binyan Mekalin means that you're always Chayav Mishum Makom Patish. And therefore, we're going to assume that in the case of Mita Shel Tarsi, according to Rav and Shmuel, again, you have to figure out Rav over here, but according to Shmuel at least, is the reason why you have a chatos in Mita Shel Tarsi is because of Meleches Makom Patish. So therefore, Rashi is very consistent. Again, I leave you with a question here, because in the case of Kupina Demara, which is our sugya, where we shufta the Kupina Demara, we have a chiv according to Rav Mishum Meleches Bona. So again, just for technical reasons, to make life easier for ourselves, we're going to say that Rav holds like Beit Shammai. That's not going to help me with the Rav and Mita Shel Tarsi. But if Rav accepts the Shita Beit Shammai, Beit Shammai holds a Yesh Binyan Mekele. Tosus has to square all the sugyas and shas with Ein Binyan Mekele, because Tosus is not going to tolerate that Rav could possibly have accepted the Shita Beit Shammai. That's unacceptable for Tosus. It must be that Ein Binyan Mekele. No, if Ein Binyan Mekalim, why do Rav and Shmuel insist in the case of Mita Shel Tarsi Yachayim Mishum Meleches Bona? And why does Rav insist in our sugya in the case of Shufta Bekupina Demara that Yachayim Mishum Meleches Bona? Oh, so Tosfos says you have to see the end of the sugya. The end of the sugya is on Daf Mem Zayin Amid Beis. And the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says that there are three different levels of attaching parts together, three different forms of attaching parts of a kli together. Okay? One of them is called chibur gomor, an absolute chibur, which the Gemara identifies with the word tokea. Tokea means that he really knocks in a screw or a nail or whatever it is, in a way that he attaches these two parts with an absolute chibur. Okay? And the Gemara is going to say that that absolute chibur is like megufas chavis. Megufas chavis means that in the old days when they barreled wine, in order to attach the top lid cover to the barrel, and it had to be hermetically sealed because otherwise the wine starts fermenting and becoming chomet, they did something called megufas chavis. They actually cemented down the lid to the chavis. The Gemara says in order to break that chibur, you need to take a sayif, the Gemara says, and actually like chop off the head. You know, you really have to detach it. It's a total chibur. That's a and the Gemara says that in such a case, in Kalim on Shabbos, you be chayev a chatos, because you created an absolute chibur. Then the Gemara has something called hiduk. Hiduk means that there's an attachment, but it's not a chibur. They're attached, but they're still not totally attached. And then the Gemara has even a third level, which is called eino chibur. In other words, you just attach it in a very temporary kind of a way, so which makes it easy to take it apart. And there's no element of chiduk, and certainly not chibur. And the Gemara says the following. If it's a chibur gamur, then it's called a melacha d'oraisa. And Tosfos assumes that that's meleches what? Meleches binyan. If, on the other hand, it is eino chibur, there's no chibur here, then it's mutu lechatchila, you're allowed to do it. And if it's in the middle, it's hiduk, then it is what? Then it's also mid-rabbanon. Then l'chatchili, you're not allowed to do it. So again, the Gemara is saying that there are different types of chibur. There's the most intense permanent chibur. There's the least intense chibur that's only like hinging them together. You know, they're attached like a hinge. And that's not called a chibur at all. And that's mutar l'chatchila. And then you have something called what? Hiduk. Hiduk means they're attached, but they can be easily disattached. So the Gemara says that with regard to Mita Shel Tarsiyim, there are three different ways that you can put together or reassemble the pieces or the segments of this Mita. One is in a way that you chayv chatos, another is in a way that is mutal chatchila, and there's another way which the Rabbanan were afraid if they allow you to do this hiduk and tighten it a little bit, you might come to do an absolute chibur and tighten it completely in such a way that it's irremovable, that it's not removable. So Tosis wants to say the following. The afal gav de kaimelon ein binyan bekelim. Okay, this I can give you back, so this I have already. Omeri hainu dafka behachzoras bote trisin o minoros shelchulios. That's only if you make a temporary kind of attachment of one segment of the kli to the other. Like, for example, they used to have certain lamps, and they would attach different parts to the lamp, like they did in the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And Tosfos says that's called Hachzara. Wait, what's this Beis over here? Does he add a word here? Oh, he calls it Hachzoras Trisim. I don't know, for some reason he takes out the word Bote Trisim. Okay, you have to know more about the etymology here, but this is Hachzoras Trisim. So even in modern Hebrew we use the word Trisim. Have you heard that word? Mm-hmm. Well, what do you call the Trisim in English? I don't know. Those
shutters.
Very good. So those shutters were attached in a very loose kind of way, and then we call it Ein Binyan Bekelim. Aval Binyan Gomur, if he tightens it completely, then he's Chayav in Kelim. Kemo Karka. So the whole difference between Kelim and Karka is not in the Shem Kli, that the Shem Kli is Mufka from Aleches Bona. Why should the Shem Kli be Mufka from Aleches Bona? What's the difference between building that's attached to the ground and it's permanently in the ground and a building of a Kli? That's also called building. When we say Ein Binyan BeKelim, what we're talking about is Hachzoras Chelkei HaKli. When we reattach different parts of the Kli in such a way that we can easily take them apart. Then we say, that's called Ein Binyan BeKelim. So Kelim really now becomes more of a Hechetimtza. You know, it's more of a Metzius. That, you know, to find a reality in which you attach two things in a very temporary kind of way that's more popular or more commonplace in the case of Kelim. Theoretically, according to Tosis, let's say I attached a tent to the ground, would I be chai for Meleches Bona? And it would depend. If I attached the tent to the ground in a very permanent way, then I would be chai. But if I attached it only in a temporary way, then that would not be Meleches Bona. But once again, the main emphasis here is that Tosis, as opposed to Rashi, accepts Binyan Bekelim. Again, with certain conditions, but there is Binyan Bekelim. And where is my source, says Tosis, where do I base myself on? Kidam Rinan, Besof Perakira, Gabi Mita Shel Tarsiyim, Diim Toka Chayev Chatas. So there's something called Toka, and there's something called Hachzor. Taka creates what, Rabosai? Chibur Gomor. And if Taka means he puts it in such a way that it's almost impossible without breaking it to detach it, then he's chai from Meleches Bona, because then he's really completed the process of making a kli. However, Machzir, in the case of Machzir, so he's only chai from Taka. Just one second. How do you read this? In Taka Chayv Chatas Umachzir Knei Menorah. Yeah, I don't know how to read this right now, so I'll get back to you on that. He says, in all these cases, there's no difference between Kelim and Karka. Just one second. I just want to see what he means here by Machzir Knei Menorah. What was the Taka here? Just 1 second. As you know, here in the back of the Masifta, sometimes he gives you a little taich that could help here. Just give me a second, sorry. Kuf Beis Amid Beis, correct? Let's see. He doesn't help me much, but maybe I'll get lucky. Bizchus Letzibu. First, I gotta find it. Oh, at least I found the place. He says, "Mita shel tarsim sarfei nechoshes shayuholchim lemalachta meir leir v'nosim imayem mita asuyim iprokim prokim ukshahayim agiim leir." He adds words here as an embellishment. Im hichzira v'taka v'chiber chelkeho zeva zeh bechozek. Oh, beautiful. He adds the word bechozek. So it's a very tight attachment, very firm. Is chayev chatos v'chein hamachzir knei menorah Sheyotzim min haMenorah kanim harbe. Now, how do you call that in English? The
arms.
The arms, they call it? The arms of the menorah.
Branches.
What do you say?
The branches.
The branches, okay. But there's another word that I'm looking for, but I'm not finding it. Okay. He says, Vinotlim mimena. So again, we attach these branches to the base of the lamp, and then we remove them. And when do we remove the kish? Ain't tzrichim lehem. So it's easier to carry or to move from place to place. Umachzirim, and then you replace the konim kish tzrichim lehem. V'im hechzirim b'shabes chayev chatos mishum boner. Ah, so he doesn't add. I was hoping he would add the word bechoska again, like he said before. He said bechoska. Okay, then he says V'keren Agula, he writes Hu min kli zemer, some sort of musical instrument, Shahayu bo nekovim nekovim V'yotzim mimenu konim, I guess some sort of a flute or a multi multi konim flute, or some sort of, how do you say in English, a kinar, what's the word? Not a violin, no. Like Kinar David, how do you call that? Like a harp? Or a harp. Okay, so I'm looking for a different word, but okay, a harp. Okay. Shim Tokabo Hakonim Chayev Chatos. For some reason, he waits till Keren Agula to add the word Tokabo Hakonim. But he should have said it before when he was discussing the case of Menorah. Kanim Hayotzim in a menorah. Hare, what do we see? That's what he adds here. Sheshayach bone bekelim. So the sugi of Mita Shel Tarsiyim and all the other permutations, all the other cases that are mentioned there in the Gemara, establish that there is binyan bekelim. And therefore he says, Ein chiluk ben kelim lekarka. There is no difference between kelim and karka. El b'makom she'ein chizuk v'umnus de'bekli lo choshev binyan u'bekarka choshev binyan. So this part of Tosis is very, very difficult. Tosis says that if you want to know the difference between, again, now Tosis is saying that there's binyan even b'kelim if you did it b'choska and it was a chibur gomer. So now the question, so what's ein binyan b'kelim?
Is there a problem here? Because if you would say it's makeber patish, he's actually not adding anything. He's not doing. He's just assembling, and therefore you can't say it's makeber patish, and therefore you need to fall back on minyan.
Oh, so that's what Tosa is saying, that that makeber patish and also binyan bekelim. Rashi is going to say this about makeber patish, and Tosa is going to say it about binyan bekelim. That what you require is umnus. Do you see that in Tosis? He says that in the case of Kalim, in order to be Tokea, you require an Uman. Like let's say, for example, on Chol HaMoed, a Meleches Umnus is prohibited. Tosis would therefore argue that in all these three cases that we presented here, where you reassemble and reattach segments of a kli to the main body of the kli, that would require a Meleches Umnus. That would be Asur on Chol HaMoed. And on Shabbos, it becomes an Iser Binyan De Oraisa with a Chiv Chatos. On Chol HaMoed, there's no Chiv Chatos. But Rashi would say that even though it requires Umnus, there's a separate halach of Ein Binyan B'Kelim. And a kli is Mufka from Meleches Bona. Tosin says, no, there is Binyan B'Kelim, but in one condition, that you require a Meleches Umnus and a Chizuk V'Chibur. So if the Chizuk V'Chibur requires a Meleches Umnus, it means it's going to be a permanent Chibur, and it's done with a professional who takes, you know, he takes screws or nails or whatever he needs to knock in the peg and make sure that it's an absolute chibur. You know, there's a whole sugya in Masechta Makis about an axe. You know, an axe has the barzel and it has the handle, the kat. And a man goes up to chop a tree, and the head of the axe, the barzel, goes flying and kills someone. And the question is he called shogeg or karv l'mezu? Because shogeg means that he had every reason to rely on the uman who made the axe, and he permanently attached the axe, the barzel of the axe, to the handle, and therefore he had no reason to suspect that maybe they would be detached and it would go flying away. So Tosis is now saying that chibur to create the axe would be considered binyan b'kelim because it requires chizuk v'umnus. Now I don't know if chizuk v'umnus is two separate conditions or chizuk, or it's a measuring rod. How do you know how do you know he's established, he's created this chizuk? The answer is because it requires umnus. You know, a professional. I couldn't do it. I didn't go to carpentry school, so I don't know how to create a kupina demara, you know. So he says the following: Bekarka, if you're bona bekarka, then you'd be chayav even without a maisa uman, which means, according to Tosus, even without chizuk. Now, again, I don't know why, but that's something that we have to take under advisement here, but for some reason Tosus says that with regard to karka, we don't require in fixing this karka or the binyan that's on the karka any sort of maisa uman, and it's already considered binyan without these conditions of a maisa uman. Right. So let's now take a break for a second and take a look at the Beis Yosef. Does everybody have the Beis Yosef? Were we able to photocopy it? No. Somebody quickly want to photocopy this, or I'll just read it to you. Okay, I'll read it to you. This is the first Beis Yosef in Shin Yud Dalet. Shin Yud Dalet is the Simon in Shulchan Aruch that's dedicated to Meleches Binyan, and he goes ahead and he says that Ein Binyan B'Kelim. And at this point, the Beis Yosef raises the question of the Rishonim that there are many sugyas all over Shas which seem to indicate that there is Binyan B'Kelim. So he quotes the Rosh in Masechta Erevin, and the Rosh is going to give us an insight into when there is Binyan B'Kelim, and we're going to try to compare this Rosh to Tosfos again. So according to Rashi, ain't Binyan B'Kelim, period. There is no such thing as Binyan B'Kelim. If you ever find Binyan B'Kelim, you're in the turf of Beit Shammai. But it's lo la'alocha. La'alocha is no Binyan B'Kelim, period. Tosfos says there is Binyan B'Kelim, but you require Umnus V'Chazka. The Rosh has another Shita, and the Rosh bases himself on a Gemara in Perek Chavis, which is towards the very end of Masechta Shabbos, on Kuf Mem Vav. And there the Gemara says, Shover Odom Es HaChavis, you're allowed to break a barrel, Lechol Mimenu Grogeres, which means that there's no Meleches Soser in this case. Now you and I know that the Mishnah in Kol Gadol lists both Bona and Soser as two separate Avos. And Lechora, the answer to this Mishnah is that there's no Soser in the case of a Chavis, because the Chavis is not subject to Meleches Bona. Why isn't it subject? Why doesn't it lend itself to Meleches Bona? Because Ein Binyamin Caleb. So Rashi would quote this Gemara as a Raya. But to the same extent that there's no Meleches Bona in Caleb, so when he builds a Chavis, he's not Chayef for Meleches Bona. He's not Chayef for Meleches Soser when he breaks apart the Chavis. Because Ein Stira B'Kalim. So there's Ein Binyan B'Kalim according to Rashi and Ein Stira B'Kalim.
Why would we say it's Mutarakim?
Well, no, this is the only way he gets the wine out of the barrel.
Yes, but he's Mutarakim the Chavit.
Again, what he's doing is he's creating an opening in a chavit, right? This is the famous Gemara for all the contemporary issues in opening packages and bakbukim, you know, and Pepsi Cola bottles and everything. It's not a meleches mekalkel, because on the contrary, when you buy this chavit, you buy for the purpose of breaking open the chavit. Now, if he destroys it in a way that's mekalkel, then the din would be pater aval aser. That's not going to help me much, because the Mishnah says shover adam es hachavis, meaning even l'chatchili is allowed to do it. So mimanashak, we don't understand this Gemara without introducing Rashi's principle of Ein Stira B'Kalim. If you're going to tell me that he's improving the chavis by breaking it open, then he should be chayv from aleches soser, because this is a stira that is contributing, that is beneficial. Right, so that's Meleches Tiglin. And if on the other end you're going to tell me he's destroying the Chavis, then at least he should be Chayav for Meleches Kilkul Dirabbanan. So first, the Rush quotes a Tosfos that this is not a Chavis, even though it says Chavis. But this is a mustaki. Now, I used to think that mustaki was a type of wine. This Moscato wine. But mustaki is some sort of very temporary jug, you know, that's probably, in our time, we'd say it's, you know, it's made of some, but?
Disposable.
Disposable, something disposable. And that's why there's no binyan and stira in something like this. In other words, Tosis is saying that it doesn't have permanence. So that mustaki, according to Tosis, is very consistent with Tosis' shita, that yes, there is binyan mekalim, but you need something permanent, something bechozek, something that requires a meleches umnus. Here, it's just a mustaki. It's not really a chavis. Meaning, if it was a real chavis that was structured, then in order to close it or open it, you require a certain maisa chozek and a maisa umnus, and therefore you'd be chayav. However, the Rush wants to answer, offer his own answer. And he says the following. E lav ayri b'mustaki. He says that there's something called a binyan gamur and a stira gamura in Caleb. Kidamrina Beresh HaBone, man di ayl shufta b'kupina demara chayev mishum bone. He's going to Ra. Lokomotion Pirish Rashi. Rashi consistently, every time the Gemara says that you create a keli, Rashi says lo machayev mishum binyan el mishum makam apatish. And here he quotes another Rashi. We saw the Rashi on Mem Zayin. He quotes a Rashi on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Dibra Maskel I Chayte. And the Gemara says that he built a kli and he built an oven in that case. And how many different chatos is he chayev? So in calculating the chatos, Tosfos says he's chayev mishum bona. That's one of the eight, I think, that he's chayev. And Rashi says no, he's not chayev mishum bona. Take out bona and put in makam apatish. Because Rashi says Tosfos holds ein binyan mekalim. Says the Rush, no, there is binyan mekalim, and I reject Rashi.
The
Aval, these are the key words in the Rush. Aval kisha ose kol hakli. Right? If ose kol hakli, I'm skipping a few words because they're going to confuse us, but im ose kol hakli mikri shapir binyan. So if I were to create a chavis yesh me'ayin from scratch, says the Rosh, I'd be chayev from Malechus Bona. If on the other, and if I took a chavis and I completely destroyed it, I'd be chayev from Malechus Sose. But the reason why shover adam chavis lechol mimenu grogeres, why you're allowed to do this, is because, says the Rosh, he's not breaking the entire chavis. And the only time he's chayev in a kli for both bone and soser is only when his malach was done on the entire kli. Now, I think Lefi Ani is daiti, and everyone should go through this. Beis Yosef will photocopy it. That he's learning pshat that making a kli means making it functional. There's nothing that you can do with this kli until you complete the kli. And that's called Osa Es HaKli. If that be the case, Rabosai, then the Rush would say that Amita Shel Tarsim would be Maleches Bone, and L'chor it shouldn't make any bit of a difference whether he was Bechazka or not Bechazka. As long as it has a shame Kli, it would be Makabel Tumah. It doesn't have any Sumukta, it's functional, I can sleep in this folding bed because I did it with a very, you know, let's call it a Hidu kind of attachment, not Bechazka, not with a Malechus Uman, with a Tekia, then I would be Chayav. Why? Because what I created here is a Mita. What do I have before I put together the segments of the Mita? I have different pieces of the Mita. You know, I have a leg here and a leg there and so forth and so on. I created a Mita. So that's creating a complete Kli. And therefore the Rush would say that he's Chayav from Malechus Bone. Oh, now if we apply that to Kapita Demara, since you cannot use this shovel without what? Without attaching a handle, therefore it's considered as if you created the kli, and you're chayav for Maleches Bone. In the case of Chavis, if let's say you were just to add a cover to the Chavis, then we would apply the principle of Ein Binyan B'Kelim, because the Chavis is functional as a receptacle. If you break a chavis that's closed, that's sealed closed, then once again you have not done a complete malach on the kli. Why? Because the kli could be functional. You haven't destroyed the kli. When would you be chayv for soser? Again, assuming it wasn't a makalkel. If you destroyed the entire kli, when are you chayv for binyan and kelim? If you created the entire kli. So let's just calculate the nafkaminas here between Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rush. Rashi holds Ein Binyan B'Kelim, period. And any time you're chayav for creating a kli, says Rashi, that's called what? Makom V'Patish. Then according to Rashi, what would you need in order to be chayav for Binyan and Kelim? I mean for Makom V'Patish, but if you were bona kli, you would need what? Again, every time I see in Shas. No. Zeb, I'm asking the following question. According to Rashi, whenever I see in Shas, I'm going to have so many different sugyas, where you chayev a chatas for creating a kli, what will Rashi have to add? That is a gemar kli. According to Tosfos, on the other hand, there is binyan b'kelim. As long as there's Maleches binyan b'kelim, as long as what? I need Tokeh B'chazka. So what would be, here's the first nafkamina between Rashi and Tosfos. What would be if I had two parts of a Mita Shel Tarsim and I attached them B'chazka? What would Tosfos say? What would Rashi say? Anybody home?
Yes, Rashi would say it's Tokeh B'chazka.
No, you're not listening to me, Zeb. Here I have 15 pieces of a Mita Shel Tarsim. I take two of them and I attach them b'chazka. What would Rashi say in that case?
Not chayav
at all. Because Rashi said, "Bimodav shach yinach chayav." B'toras binyan yinach chayav because ain't binyan b'kelim. And b'toras makom v'patish, you don't have a gemar kli. What would Tosfos say in this case?
Chayvim
lechus binyan, because Tosfos yesh binyan b'kelim as long as there was tokeh b'chaska. And here's where the sugya of mitzadeh at umnus, and here's where mitzadeh esayevin comes into place, which was we call that binyan kaldu, meaning you don't have to complete the entire structure to be chayvim binyan. All you have to do is put two pieces together, or put one piece in its place, and now I can build on top of that. So if I take two sections of a mitzvah shel tarsim and I attach them with chazka, according to Tosafot, chayav mishum binyan. According to Rashi, I can only be chayav mishum makom patish, and in this case, I cannot be chayav mishum batkash binyan in complete
structure.
What's going to be the nafka mina between Tosafot and the Rosh? The Rosh would say that let's say I took all the segments of the mitzvah shel tarsim, all 15 of them, and I attached them behiduk below chazka. What would the Rosh say? I'm chayav mishum bonah. According to Rashi, he might be chayav mishum makom patish. I don't know. You have to know a little bit more about makom patish, because I don't know if hiduk is enough or it's not. But let's say hiduk was enough. Rashi would say chayav mishum makom patish. The Rosh would say chayav mishum bonah, and Tosfos would say you're potter. Why? Because he didn't do b'chazka, and if he didn't do b'chazka, he only did a behiduk, then it's not a meleches umnus. That's what I have so far. Okay then? So we'll stop here, and in Mirtz Hashem, we'll be there on Thursday. What, today's Tuesday, right? On Thursday, we'll try to do the makom patish on this. So far, we just did meleches binyan. Call them, you know.
I'm sorry, this mitzvah shel tarsim, if it became tameh, and now you took it apart, did you lose the tumah?
Yeah, yeah. It's like shviras kli, you know, which is mafkia, the shame kli, and therefore it's no longer tameh.
So it's like the chuliot of...
it's like cutting off the heretz, but you're not allowed to do it. That's a lot.
It's like the mosh lachna, you know, because it's kli.
Now you're getting into blizzard, shabuti, yeah.
Because you're not adding anything. He's just...
So I don't remember the whole sugya of Tanisha. Where is it? Bar Mitzia, no? Yeah, I think it's in Bar Mitzia. Yeah, in the Samat. Yeah, where is it? In the Samat?
The
Gemara said,
"But you called the name of
Rav Shmuel,
that he's
chayv katas
for the case of
the Shabbat."
But didn't say for what?
That Rav Shmuel said
you chayv
katas,
and you
said it's
what? But didn't say why the chayv katas. Right. Since the area of the book is where Rav Shmuel said what caused Rashi to say that that's not true here too? Could be that the reason why Rav said here is chayv is because of bonin, and then Shmuel says chayv because of bonin. Why did Rashi feel compelled to say that they agree on the wine? It's not that just that they agree on the chayv hatas.
Well, no, in the case where the Gemara says, you know, chayv mishum this and chayv mishum that, you have a machlokas here, it's Rashi. Well, they both say chayv hatas, so Rashi assumed that it's one malacha, that they both agree on the same malacha. So Rashi asks himself the question, what malacha are we dealing with? If the Gemara is an ad mishum, you know, then it must be that it's a dover portion of why you have. So Rashi says, what is so portion here? Rashi says, because ain't been you became. Because Rashi is always equipped with Beis Hillel and Masech the Beit, so that ain't been you became. And therefore you can never have been you became according to Rashi. If you'll have binyan b'kelim, you'll have binyan b'kelim, but yechai not mishum melechus bonah, yechai mishum melechus bak.
You would have less problems with Rav if he said that. Yeah. So Rav says it's because of bonah, Shmuel says it's because of
bonah. Rav, I don't know. That's why I told you, just to get to first base in this sugya, I'm going to make a technical assumption here. You know, in basketball, they call it technical foul, you know? And that is that Rav accepted the sheet of Beit Shammah. Now, can we get away with such a thing? Tosfos is not going to tolerate. But Rashi would say that if you give a person asra for creating a kli, you better get it right. Otherwise, it's not going to be chayv. You better tell him that you're going to be chayv mishum makom patish. If you tell him that you're going to be chayv mishum bonah, even though he completes the entire kli, he's going to be potter. Because he got the wrong asra, the wrong ah. Tosfos, on the other hand, would say that if you tell a person when he's about to complete a kli, let's say he's doing it b'chazka, that you're going to violate makom patish, then he's not going to be chayv. Because you have to give him that asra mishum bonah. Again, this touches on the other machlokas that I mentioned yesterday. Could you be chayv two malachas for one pa'ula? Meaning, we have to analyze, which is a whole plug to the Rishonim, when Shmuel says that Yechayv Mishum Makav Apatish, right, does he mean only Makav Apatish? That's another issue.
Well, you always chayv for
Bodeh. Yeah, is it, but the Rambam sheet is that it's always going to be either or. You know, you're either chayv. And hopefully we'll get to the Rambam on Thursday, and that's when we're going to do the Eben Azel, because Rabbi Sazam is going to try to solve the problem of the Rambam.
Did Asha Avi Moshe